Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me or fell upon me here on the 29th of January, 2022. Very, very kind. There are no rendezvous in this lifetime, none that are by accident. Everything is a rendezvous. Everything, even you being here listening to me, this was, quote, unquote, meant to be. So with that being said, I always try to do my very best to give you some insight. For those of you who may come and listen once or listen twice or turn me off in the midst, it doesn't matter. As long as I get to offer to you what I get to offer to you, which is, something unique, something different out of the box. How You Teach is the title of this particular program, this podcast. And I get the gist of the questions that people ask. And my approach is, I guess, different. I don't know. I don't measure my approach. I don't sit and analyze it compared to other people. It's just not my gig. So anyway, I get a lot of questions about the way I teach, what I teach, how I teach, where I come from, all of that kind of stuff. So every so often, not to bore you, I will put in a little bit of me here, of the Gregory and what he does and kind of where he came from and what he has struggled with in his life in the form of spiritual awakening and things like that, just to, I don't know, let you know you're not alone and that everybody has something that they're dealing with, as it were. So I just tried to keep it as simple and basic as possible. But people want to know. It fascinates me. I don't see myself as being any different from anyone else who is teaching meditation and inner work. But evidently, for some people, not all, some people, this all looks really strange to them. So I thought what I would do is kind of answer a couple of questions that might help you understand a little bit more. But I just want to say this to you. Understanding is a nebulous thing. And based on your chemistry, your brain chemistry, your hormones, believe it or not, and the way you have been conditioned through your genetics and your DNA, you're going to find that 1 week I have something for you that you think pertains to you, and the next week I don't have anything that pertains to you. I've found this to be true with everything that I've done over the years, especially when I was teaching formally in front of people. So the object of the game is in your hands. I try to help you adapt to what you need and the things that are important for you, but it's all in your hands in the sense of how you receive the gift, how you receive the insight, and from whence it comes from in you. All right, let's go to the first question. The first one comes from Cal. He does not tell me where he lives. He said, "You don't teach like other Zen teachers. Why?" Cal, I don't know. I mean, I've been with quite a few Zen teachers, and I don't know what you think I'm supposed to be like or why I do the things I do or say the things I do. It's just my style. But I take the temperature of the room. And when I'm with students or with people, let's say in a workshop or a retreat or something like that, I take the temperature of the room. I can tell what the temperament is and where they're coming from. And usually it's from expectations of me being or me saying things that they are familiar with or that they like. I go into the nitty-gritty of it all. There are some teachers that are philosophical, and they do nothing but philosophy. And that's okay. I mean, that has to be presented, I suppose. I don't think it is my audience, but it's perfectly legitimate to me to have someone be a teacher of Zen, as it were, to offer, oh, what shall we say, philosophy, basics. I am all for that. And my audience, if I sense that they are novice at this, I kind of give a little overview on that, but I don't stay there. I don't. And the reason being is because you don't need more philosophy. Philosophy will not change anything in you. Philosophy makes you think you know. It's a camouflage. You will think you know things because you can intellectually accept them or put them into some kind of order in your brain that allows you to think and reason from that order, which makes you presume that you understand or know. And that would not be true with anything that great spiritual works are based on. Understand, spiritual practice is one thing. Spiritual philosophy is another. And if you're only into the philosophy and conning yourself into thinking that you are, through the philosophy, a teacher, or that you're a good student because you quote unquote know this because you've heard it before, doesn't mean you know it, and it doesn't mean you've practiced it, and it doesn't really mean anything at all. Really nothing at all. So what I try to do is take an approach that is different. And I'm going to be very upfront with you, Cal, that kind of pushes a person to the brink of their understanding, right to the very brink. And if they can withstand that and then go over the falls, as it were, into the meaning of what they think they understand, now I have found a real student and they have found an authentic teacher. But until you push somebody over the falls a little bit, you bring them to the edge and you say to them, here is what you have been taught, but to really live what you've been taught, you have to do this. You have to go over the falls. You have to really get into it. And most people don't want to do that. They don't want to be disturbed. So my approach is, don't think that you understand anything that I'm talking about. Live it. Only don't know, we say in Zen. And it is true. Only don't know. Don't know. Don't think you know. Don't know. Stay in that. And you have the opportunity to awaken spiritually speaking. Because if you don't know, then the seeker in you will find you. And in that finding of you, you will start to live what you only knew and didn't really get involved in. Getting involved in the work, getting involved in an authentic spiritual practice is not an easy thing to do, because you have to let go of everything you believe in. You have to let go of what you want. You have to make room for it in your life. It's got to eventually become the totality of your life. And if it doesn't do any of those things, then you don't awaken. Nothing ever really happens that is meaningful. So what I'm trying to do here is offer to you something significant, substantial, something you can live with but can't live without. And if you can understand that, if you can live with these teachings and realize you really can't live without them because they're so essential, not to your happiness but to your awakening, and that has become important, the awakening, then you have something substantial. And most people don't want anything substantial, Cal. They really don't. They just want something, to add to the philosophy of their life, and don't change their life unless it's for the better. And that's what they want. They call that a miracle. And I do not believe or teach a course in miracles. I think that is utterly ridiculous. But that's what sells. So there you are. Hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last question. What are you trying to achieve with students? You seem very direct and at times uncaring. And this is from Carrie. Uncaring Carrie. Anyway. Carrie, I am one of the most caring of all teachers. In Zen, there are those who teach who are very... They dispel a dispassion in their teachings, and I am all for that, and that can be misconstrued as not caring. I am not a passionate person. I don't care if you get it or not. I'll do my best to help you, but I can't get into the passion of thinking that I'm responsible for you getting it. If you don't get it, you don't get it. It has nothing to do with what I delivered. And if I delivered it in a way that was awkward or not effective, then that's on me. But believe me, I don't do that at all. That's not one of my faults. I have many, but not that one. So it is about the student, not really about me. So you ask why... What do I achieve with my students, or what am I trying to achieve? Focus and attention. That's really all I can do. I can't do any more than just focus and attention. I try to teach them how to focus, and I try to get their attentions. Now, this is a very difficult thing in this world. Believe me, it is. With all the distractions that we have and all of the difficulties we have, we do a lot of very crazy things in our life, watching all sorts of things, football, baseball, you know, movies and all of that. And we lose our focus and our attention because we have put it into a certain genre of violence. And that appeals to our DNA, and hence it is oftentimes, for me, very hard to get people's attention. They want sensationalism, and that's really all it's about. And I don't give sensationalism. I am basic. But what I do that is highly annoying is I reveal them. I reveal their insincerity. I reveal their pessimism, their sarcastic mental states. I reveal their cruelty and their personal violence. And it's very annoying to people. It is. It's just very annoying. And I do this on purpose to show them, hey, are you willing to change this? Are you willing to let this go? Are you willing to maybe change the way you operate on the inside of yourself? And most people, no, they're not. They don't want to change. It's not in their thing. They didn't come to me for that. They came for reassurance, and they came to see if there's something they could get from me. And the object of the game is not what you could get from me, but what you could give to yourself, what you could give in the form of your attentions, your focus, and you're caring. So it goes that far. I'm not, my achievement with my students is simply to get their attention and then try to help them learn how to focus that attention on their breath or on the meditations or on anything we're working on at the time. I gotta go. Time is short. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning with some more questions. I hope you will join me. Please forgive me. Namaste.